afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Etan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Primetime with your host, The Fetch.
All right, everybody. From Amman, Jordan, this is The Fetch, and you are listening to Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Today's date is Thursday. Boy, the computer's acting up real quick for some reason all of a sudden here. Hang tight, everybody. Where the heck did that go, and why did it just do that? I'll tell you, sometimes these computers. I got all this said. Don't worry, everybody. Hold on one second. There it is. Okay, today's date is May the 31st, 2018, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late evening to... Wow, that's like my thing has gotten hacked here. It's just buzzing all over. All right, let me turn this mouse off. Okay. Anyways, a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And, of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Amman is absolutely fantastic with daytime highs reaching only about 81 degrees. Actually, it's about 76 degrees. It wasn't that hot. And daytime, we're hitting right about 60 degrees right now. We're actually going to be going up to about 61 degrees over the next couple hours. And it really looks like somebody has taken over my laptop because it is just bouncing all over the place. I'll tell you, strange. Yeah, I bet you've had that over there, the guest standing there in the studio. Anyways, joining us soon here. I've got to, this is live, everybody, but somebody's like taking over my laptop. So we're going to try to just ad-lib this thing. It's okay. Hold on, everybody. Joining us from, I believe, California, Patrick Little. Patrick Little is the GOP candidate coming up in the June 5th primaries in the state of California. And Patrick, I had actually a lot of things set up for you, but unfortunately, everything has gone haywire on my laptop over here. So welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Well, there you are, my friend. I thought it was me because my laptop is like going crazy. I've got two laptops operating here. We don't need your video, just so you know. Okay. It is live radio. But now you sound great again, everybody. This is Patrick Little. He's got the little revolution. Again, it's coming from the state of California, my home state, Patrick. So it's kind of nice to hear some of your message. We've been saying what you've been saying for probably over a decade now out there doing live radio here across the world. So it's really great to hear some of what you're saying because you're mirroring what we've been saying for years and years. So we'd like to welcome you to Inside the Eye Live.
Thank you. So you didn't hear anything I said before?
Absolutely nothing. I bet you it was probably the best stuff you've delivered all week and we missed it.
Well, I was saying that I'm running for U.S. Senate against Dianne Feinstein, a dual citizen of Israel who voted for the Iraq War. And I come from a long line of proud veterans. My father was a Marine Corps veteran of the Vietnam War, and he fought on Hill 881 during the Tet Offensive in 1967 and 1968. He was in the Khason Air Base area during this attack. He was a presidential card for Johnson and Nixon. I grew up in a house decorated with things that were honoring our troops and different programs like the space program and such. And my grandfather was a captain in the Navy. He ran the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. He was the commander of that shipyard. And So we have a long history in national security in my family. And when I woke up to the Zionist lobby and the terrorist attacks they've committed against this country, including the nuclear, weapons-grade uranium they stole from my country, polluting Pennsylvania with a new Superfund site because they did it so sloppily, they obtained a nuclear rogue weapons program for a state that had repeatedly committed terrorist attacks against the United States, both civilian and military targets. And I don't know about you, but it's not in the American tradition to give nuclear weapons to terrorist countries that have committed false flag terrorist attacks against this country. And so in the proud tradition of my ancestors, I'm standing up for America and putting America first. And I'm running for Senate so that I can shame all of the other politicians once I get there into ditching their affiliations with the terrorist state of Israel.
Well, Patrick, we've been, of course, I'm native California. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, long history there. I moved out of Los Angeles to the Middle East about 12 years ago, 2016 or 17 or so. As you know, there's been a lot of white flight from California, but a lot of us understand the politics there. It's a very liberalized state. There's still your conservative pockets in the middle part of the state, towards the northern parts of the state, really the eastern parts of the state also, basically with San Francisco and Los Angeles being highly liberal nowadays. How are you trying to reach out, I guess, to the people of California to get this message that you have out? And really, some of what your message is highly critical of Jews. We support you on that. We are deeply offensive by people calling you anti-Semitic all the time. We are not bound by what Jews feel all the time. We're tired of listening to their crap, basically. So how are you reaching out to the state of California, and why did you pick California? It's a difficult state. It's a huge state. So you're from Maine. You've lived elsewhere out there in the States. Why did you pick California to run?
Well, I was honorably discharged from the Marine Corps here, and I wanted to take my wife to a good climate. The Bay Area is beautiful. I'm in the East Bay near the University of Berkeley, and I decided to move up here and use up my financial background I had built up in the Marine Corps, and I bought myself a nice sloop, a 12-ton sailboat, and we lived on that for a year and a half while I earned a good salary at a startup as a network engineer.
Cool.
And then
I lived in Hayward up there in the Bay for a summer. It's kind of nice.
The climate is wonderful, and so is the landscape.
It is.
And, you know, a lot of Californians are conservative. Most of them are liberal. But I tell you one thing. Nobody that I know in California is okay with Israeli snipers shooting Christian and Muslim indigenous people in Palestine in the stomach while they're pregnant and wearing a shirt while doing so with a picture of a native woman in that region wearing a sniper target over her belly, and in Hebrew the shirt says one shot, two kills. So I don't know how many people in the state of California are fans of the slaughter of innocent women, civilians who are pregnant with unborn children. I do not know if that's going to fly anymore with the conservatives than it will with the people that consider themselves liberal. And I can tell you one thing, California is an anti-war state. We are not supporting another war of expansion for Israel so they can permanently annex the Golan Heights by destabilizing the secular, popular Assad government, which won 88.7% of the vote in an internationally verified and monitored election in 2014. Let me tell you something else. Assad won over 90% of the Christian vote, meaning the ethnic and religious minorities of Syria agree that this is a good man, a good leader, who's running a very popular secular government where religious parties are outlawed. Now, I'm not going to criticize any or appraise any of the governmental policies of a foreign state when I don't need to, but I am going to say that he protects the religious and ethnic minorities of his country from Israeli-backed terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, and ISIS, which has been, I can prove to you with videos in Hebrew at the Israeli Knesset, their parliament, that Israel supports ISIS. Israel supports Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra. The IDF, their military as well, not just their politicians, support these terrorist groups that have been used to slaughter ancient religious and ethnic minorities throughout the Middle East, including some of the oldest Christians in the Middle East, the Assyrians. They've been used to slaughter secular Muslims. They've been used to slaughter the troops in terrorist attacks that were defending these religious and ethnic minorities from these proxy terrorist groups of Israel. And I'll be darned if I let these Zionist Jewish supremacists drag my country and our precious troops into another Zionist war of aggression where we're being used as mercenaries for the terrorist state of Israel, which has a history of attacking us and stealing nuclear weapons and threatening us with terrorist acts.
Well, you know, when you went into the GOP down in San Diego, you've come up really out of nowhere. People have been saying, Fetch, you got to get Patrick on your show. You got in, of course, I didn't know anything about you, so it's good that you're getting the word out. And we're going to obviously try to magnify that as much as we can here. But you went into the GOP. One of the first things I heard is they kicked you out for this lame charge of you being something like an anti-Semite or something. What happened down in San Diego?
So a poll had just come out the previous week showing me to be the leading challenger to Dianne Feinstein.
Okay.
With the 32 candidates in the race, the most recent poll of top candidates had shown me to be the leading candidate challenging Feinstein. I had 18% of the vote. My closest rival, including the Republicans and Democrats, had 8%. And I had a platform where I was utilizing 4chan's poll and 8chan and a bunch of other imaging and message boards because I had no money. I was a one-man campaign who pulled off all sorts of activism against Jewish supremacism. I protested outside of AIPAC on the last Wednesday of it. I was the only person protesting there that day. I had gone to pro-Zionist rallies that were brainwashing young conservative Americans to support Israel, and I stood up and I talked about the USS Liberty and caused a dual Israeli citizen that was on the talking panel there at that event at UC Berkeley to lose her mind. And then she was tweeting out that I was threatening her and stuff. I was challenging her to an online debate. I was trying to schedule with her. She ran away and said I was outside waiting to get her afterwards, which is bullcrap.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're always trying to make us out, anyone who's critical
of Israel. We call it a wine society, and we're not talking about the Northern Californian wines.
Those are some excellent wines, by the way, and I have a history of doing agriculture in the Mojave Desert with a drip irrigation system if you're a farmer out there. Wow. But I also went in front of the Twitter building when the Zionist ADL was censoring anyone that said anything critical of Israel or anything where you said that whites were anything other than monsters off from Twitter. And we now have a large community of Twitter exiles on Gab, and we are now a politically organized force on Gab. Get on Gab, gab.ai. I'm Patrick_Little. My website is littlerevolution.us. If you'd like to donate, make sure you're a U.S. citizen or a legal permanent resident. Go to littlerevolution.us/donate. And I'm using money to set up robocalls about the USS Liberty, including audio tape of the radio communications between the Israeli terrorist fighter jets that attacked Liberty and the base where they confirmed that the target was indeed American. I have the tapes in Hebrew that I'm going to be sending out on robocall as part of my campaign message. I've raised less than $4,000. De Leon is lagging behind me in terms of online metrics of people searching for him and looking for information and visiting sites. I'm ahead of him. He has spent over $1 million in the last few weeks. I have spent less than $3,000 so far. I'm about to spend the last of what I've got, so please send me money so I can keep up this movement for liberation from these Zionists. I'm kicking his butt. The Zionists saw what I was doing and how successful I was being with no budget, with my own time driving myself all over the place. I was a one-man campaign. And so they decided to prop up a Jewish woman by the name of Cruz. And she said she was an online activist and podcaster and that we quote-unquote needed to wake people up to leftism and stuff like that, which is funny because she was trying to use some of the terminology and popular stuff I was doing with the internet and the terms I was saying. I was waking people up. And what she did before she was running for Senate was run a podcast that had 200 subscribers. So this woman is nobody, but she's pro-Israeli, and she's going around saying that Israel is full of the chosen people and we need to send our troops off to die for Israel. And she's getting flown around on a Learjet. We've got pictures of her landing in Palm Springs on a Learjet, even though she hasn't shown up at more than like 1% in any of the polls. And they're parading her around like she's God's gift to the world. And, you know, she's trying to claim that she's going to get the right-wing youth vote when she's an Israeli firster. And I'm the only America First candidate out there because I'm the only one that will talk about the foreign terrorist influence that is dominant in Washington, D.C. I'm doing this with virtually no budget. I've had death threats to myself and my family. They're trying to destroy my personal life. They're trying to drive my family away from me. And I've had it full up. And God help them if my family gets hurt. God help them, because I will only double down and rededicate my life to liberating this country from this terrorist, Zionist, Jewish supremacist influence.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's a good line. But as we all know, this is a very entrenched power base. They've been able to bring America to war for all going back all the way to World War One, World War Two, the Vietnam War, obviously the Iraq War. 9/11 was one of their operations, and nobody's ever been held to account on that. How are you going to go about really getting, I mean, we support everything you're saying, but how do you go about getting the allies you need in a major type of aircraft carrier like the United States to get some of these things to happen? I mean, where do you start to chip away at the armor that Jews have built up over the last century?
I had a meeting a few nights ago with some secular Muslim leaders in the Muslim community here. I've met with Greek Orthodox Palestinians. I've met with Assyrians. They support me, and they're spreading the word at their churches and at their mosques. They've made known that I am a friend to all people that seek liberation from Zionist influence, be they in the Middle East or America. I'm going to put America first, which means stopping the funding of Israeli terrorism in the Middle East. And that is music to everyone's ears that has been a victim of Israeli terrorism, including the Lebanese, the Assyrian community here in California, the Armenian community here in California, and a lot of other ethnic and religious minorities. I've even got a lot of Asian supporters. In that one poll, I got close to 40% of the Asian vote with 32 candidates in the running, mind you. Close to 40%, because I talk about Jewish discrimination against Asians in university admissions. I quote, I've created one flyer that's very popular in Asian communities. It's having a big impact. One of my tactics is to just ask random anonymous people from the internet to print out my flyers and go flyer areas where they think there are people that are fed up with Zionist Jewish supremacism. And the Asian community is responding. They are waking up. They launched a lawsuit against Harvard University for discriminating against Asians in 2016, 2017. And I made it known to them that according to Hillel, the Jewish supremacist student organization, 67% of the graduate student body at Harvard is made up of ethnic Jews. Now, Jews are 1.7 or 1.8% of the population of the United States, according to Jewish organizations, and they're less than 3% of top-performing high school students. How could they possibly reserve 67% of the seats at the Harvard Graduate School, an elite institution, for people based on racial membership? And the whole time after people started pointing this out, they tried to confuse the Asians by saying, oh, no, it's white supremacism. That's why there aren't not enough Asians getting into Harvard. They say it's white supremacism because they lump in Jews with whites in response to these types of criticisms and say, oh, yeah, Harvard grad school is 80 or 80-something percent white, when really it's almost entirely Jewish. And so they do the fellow white people thing anytime someone brings up Jewish overrepresentation or nepotism or discrimination against other races. So the Asian community here doesn't have this white guilt that the Jewish Zionist media has programmed into white Americans. And I'm waking them up in droves. They don't want to put America first. They want their children to have a good shot at a top quality education if they put in the legwork and have the brains to do it. And I'm going to empower them to live up to their full potential and stop this Jewish supremacist discrimination and institution and exclusion of non-Jews from the halls of power and from the halls of our elite institutions.
Okay, you look at the media, of course. Now, when we look at your when we go basically do a web search on you, you're going to find the top 10, 20, 30, 40 is nothing but anti-Semite, neo-Nazi, all this crap that Jews like to use. Obviously, we find it highly offensive that they would stoop to this level, but you and I both know that they do. What do you have in mind for basically rolling back Jewish domination, like with the FCC? Would you favor something like rolling back Jewish control of the media, splitting up and breaking up these media empires so that we have much more diversity, literally, within basically our American country?
Well, I can tell you you're addressing a symptom. The biased media is a result of Jewish supremacist control of our government. So step one, we go ahead and take advantage of the fact that close to 80% of Americans, according to the Edelman Report, which is what politicians go by when evaluating Americans' faith in institutions, 80% of Americans think that the media is full of crap. And you know what? When they print all this stuff about me, what were they calling Donald Trump when he was running? What were they calling him?
I have no idea. I was not there.
They were calling him a neo-Nazi. They were calling him a white supremacist. They were throwing all of these labels at him that they're throwing at me. I can show you the organizational charts of these media companies. They're all completely controlled by Zionist Jews, be they the New York Times, Fox News, or the...
Are they Zionist Jews, or are they just Jews at the end of the
day? Oh, you better believe Zucker has said in the past something equivalent to my allegiance is first to Israel. Mm-hmm. And... The Murdochs, you try and find stuff critical of Israel on Murdoch's news network. Those are Zionist Jews, the Murdoch children that are now running Fox News. The Ochsenberger family that runs the New York Times, they are openly Israeli firsters. These are Jewish supremacists. And I can show you the organizational charts to prove this to you. People were kicked off from Twitter for sharing these charts. Now, the way to defeat lying Jewish fake press media is to take their control of our government back. And at that point, I will do what I can working with other candidates that will be elected to open up a Senate-House Joint Committee on Un-American Activity. I'm bringing back McCarthy's tool. McCarthy, behind closed doors, just like President Nixon, talked about Jewish control of our media and how dangerous it was. Since nowadays, instead of only 20% of people disbelieving the media, we're up to 80% of Americans. That's across all races and all creeds. Think the media is nothing but lies. If you don't believe me, go to the 2015 through 2017 Edelman reports. These are what the governmental officials look at. This is basically how well... This is the report that the Zionists look at out every year to say, how well are we doing to control the institutions that can influence public opinion, and how much are those institutions still believed by the public? And the answer is a giant goose egg. They've lost control. That's why they're trying to shut down the internet, because people go to the internet for their news now, which is where I am dominating. And we're going to win this election if we can wake enough people up, if we can stop being so pessimistic, if we can stop being so black-pilled. I mean, there's no way that I went from 18% support to 3 weeks later to being at 0% support like the media is saying I am now. They're trying to create an expectation.
I think they gave Trump 2% equally. So
1%. I posted the article to my Gab account. There were some outlets saying 1%.
How many people, obviously... You seem fairly fresh at this message, you know, based on your language and such, and it is refreshing for a lot of people who've been doing this a long time to hear that it's finally reaching into America's body politic. How many other people, candidates, are there like you, even in, say, to a lesser degree? How much is your style of message starting to reach out to other states?
There are close to 10 people that I know of running right now that believe what I know. Some of them are open about it, like Art Jones and Paul Nalen. However, I've got close to 36 people that have already agreed to run for their senator congressional seat in their district in 2020. My goal is to get that number, including gubernatorial candidates, up to around 600 or 700. And I'd like every governor seat that's open in 2020, every one of the congressional representative seats, and every one of the Senate seats that are open for re-election in 2020, to have someone saying the things I'm saying running, because they're spending millions of dollars and tons of man hours trying to shut down my message, and it's not working. And can you imagine if there were 600 of me? the system would be overwhelmed.
Yeah, it would be good if we had 600 people like you that actually understand the game and can start to take this on, of course.
They're out there. They just need to be encouraged to run, and I'm dedicated to reaching out to these people who are supporting me. A lot of people just sent me fan mail. I wound up getting back to them and doing a little research into their background with stuff they volunteered and said, and I told them, you either run for Congress or Senate or governor's seat in 2020 or we're done talking. And a lot of people are responding in the affirmative.
How about at the local level? Are you working at all on any local groups, Have you picked up any endorsements at all?
Most of my support is behind closed doors, and I've instructed people to say undecided if they're going to vote for me, or to say that they're voting for Feinstein. So I do not want people doing anything other than at the anonymous ballot booth to vote for me.
Okay. Going into a break, everybody. Patrick Little, The Little Revolution, before the against Dianne Feinstein in the GOP. I guess it's not. Are you the GOP or who GOP?
You're
Jewish genocide being committed against the Palestinians. Some people might get on board because they're sick of the Jews inciting all the other races against us in the systems of culture making that they control in this country. Some might get on board because they're sick of Zionists being behind the holding of the borders open in Europe by Zionists. Some might get on board because they don't like the fact that Jews that control the media fill it with nothing but pornography, smut, and violence. There are a million reasons to oppose Jewish supremacism. And I think that you need to be open to supporters from every one of those camps, because ultimately, if you want to have white communities, if you want to be pro-white, if you want to end systematic anti-white discrimination, you're not going to be able to do any of that until Jewish supremacists are removed from power. So step one, remove these tyrants from power. Step two, all of your other goals.
And that, everybody, is the voice of Patrick Little, and he is joining us here at Inside the Eye Live primetime this Thursday, again, May the 31st. He's going to be running the primaries coming up on June 5th. You know, a new interesting article came out on Newsweek. The California Republican Party has disavowed, oh my goodness, its top polling candidate to take on Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein this November after it emerged that he has espoused a range of white nationalist views, including calling for a country free from Jews. Now, quite frankly, Patrick, I for one, as an American, I'm pissed off at the way Jewish media and Jewish organizations and our institutions seem to think the litmus test is Jews first. And that seems to be your message, isn't it?
Absolutely. And just a reminder here, I have massive support among many different races of man and many different creeds in this state. Now, I was speaking in that message to people that were saying, well, you can't support other Americans who aren't white if you're running and you're pro-white. And that's absolutely false. This country was founded on the principle that all peoples have the right to seek out life, liberty, and prosperity for themselves and their progeny. And that is not limited to just people from England or just people from Germany or whatever that have come here. Whites are a small minority in California now. We're less than half of the state. I think we're down to less than 40% of the state now. And in terms of people under the age of 30, we are a drop in the bucket. And you know what? I'm getting people who wish to breathe free of Jewish supremacist tyranny across all races, across all creeds. And ultimately, we're dealing with a global force for terrorism, the Zionist lobby. We're dealing with a global network of people who control the news in almost every country. They control the banks in almost every country. People that drive students of all races and creeds into debt slavery in order to pay for their own education. These Jewish supremacists cause foreign wars of aggression in the backyards of countless peoples around the world. And you don't have to be white to recognize the fact that these Jewish supremacists are running our countries into the ground for the benefit of a group of small Jews, not even all Jews, it's a group of small Jews benefiting from this at the expense of everybody else. And it's not hard to wake people up to this message. As a matter of fact, I did some A-B testing driving rideshare just to have captive audiences. And if you go to my Gab, you can see some of the interesting feedback I got in my driver's panel. The easiest people to wake up are Asians. The hardest people to wake up are white Protestant Christians. I went ahead and put in a few months of legwork before I decided to start doing in real life activism. And I can tell you one thing, the whites are the most brainwashed in this country. And we've got to wake them up, but we've got to wake everyone up. And if you're pro-white or if you're pro-Asian or if you're pro-whatever your group is, that's a right guaranteed to you by the U.S. Constitution. You have the right to advocate the interests of your children, of your community, and to put America first in your community interests at heart in the public forum. And there's nothing in the Constitution that stops us from doing this. And the Bill of Rights right now is so far under attack from these Jewish supremacists. They're trying to take away our right to bear arms, which is not just for hunting. It's for civil defense and for keeping the government in check. They're trying to take away our free speech. They've gotten rid of it on social media for the most part, unless you go to gab.ai or a platform like that. They've taken away our right to privacy with the Patriot Act, which was written in Israel by people like Michael Chertoff, who were the most powerful man in the government. They were more powerful than Bush Jr. Michael Chertoff, the head of the newly formed Homeland Security at the time. We are talking about people who rely on cloak and dagger tactics and terrorism. The people making the USS Liberty movie now have had two rather suspicious deaths among the top people that are helping to produce that movie and get that off the ground. We are dealing with a group that deals by deception and backroom deals and bribery and threats of violence. This is international terrorism, and I'm asking you, regardless of race or creed or even citizenship, to stand up with me against Jewish supremacism. In this country, in the United States, I'm asking for United States citizens to stand up with a unified, booming voice and say, we will not capitulate to terrorism. We will not allow our government to be taken hostage by a foreign terrorist nation that has a rogue nuclear program and commits terrorist attacks regularly against us and our NATO allies. Stand up in your country, wherever you're from, and join me, Patrick, in overthrowing these terrorists.
You know, Patrick, this is all very simple, too, as the state of Israel, because it has not signed on to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. 100% of the aid that does go to Israel is against American law. So we already have the laws in place to cut off this rogue nation, Israel. But as you can see, nothing is happening. So obviously a stronger voice in the Senate would certainly be helpful. Are you, again, let's go back to this issue, because we want to drive it home, not just for you and I, because we get it, and a lot of the audience here actually does get it, but the way that the media frames everything, aren't they really telling the audience, the voters out there, that the litmus test is putting Jews first, and it's about time we stop that? Is that how you're reading this equally?
Absolutely. And I'm going to be that voice in the U.S. Senate for you and other American citizens who wish to see this Israel first and Jewish supremacist first policy put to an end. They've had a stranglehold on our key institutions for about 100 years now. They've dragged us into foreign wars of aggression, and they make it so that everyone feels the stranglehold of Jewish supremacism when they're trying to get their children into institutions like Harvard. You know, whites, for example, are 70% of top-performing high school students, but we were only 12% of the incoming class to Harvard in 2017. This does not just affect whites, and I will be a voice for all Americans that wish to have our sovereignty restored, to wish to clean these traitors out of the government. The people that want the Israel firsters removed from the State Department, I'm going to help. I'm going to set up that joint committee on American activity, and I will give you that voice that you see.
Patrick, I'm an international guy. I work with a lot of people overseas at very senior levels. I can tell you the State Department has a lot of LGBT Jewish influence that is very harmful to U.S. interests, and quite frankly, they're imposing their agenda on multiple nations just to advance their agenda, and it's not helping the United States for one bit as an American nation. Another issue, Patrick, that you might consider and would you support, and that would be the end of all dual citizenships in government. The Israelis do not allow it. The Jordanians do not allow it. There's no such thing of it here in Saudi, where I'm at often. The Chinese certainly do not allow it. In fact, it's not allowed virtually anywhere in the world except where Jews have power, as well as their own state of Israel. Would you back and do you support ending dual citizenship in the United States government and key national security positions?
I have repeatedly said exactly that and more. So absolutely, yes. I support the end to dual citizenship for anyone in this country, most especially government officials. There's no way you can be a citizen of Israel, in which case you put the state of Israel first, and also a representative that gets to vote on whether or not we go to war for Israel in the U.S. Senate or Congress.
Would you cut the subsidy for the Israelis or Jews in America to fight for the IDF and then come back and be a citizen of America when it's denied to every single ethnic group in the United States?
I absolutely would. And I tell you one thing, that violates a law that was passed in the 20th century. I forget the name of the law. There's a law that forbids you from going and fighting for a foreign nation. I will end these double standards.
Yeah, they're so clever, they gave themselves a waiver. Which I'm getting tired of reading about all the time. Jews get wavered on everything. Obviously, Jews did 9/11. Nobody's been held accountable for it. Here we are 16 years later, 17 years later. Still nothing has happened. George Bush obviously is a Likudnik on his foreign policy side, so he's never going to do anything about it, even though he knows that there's a problem there. What do you feel are some strategies American patriots need to do Obviously, get control of the government's a good one. But what do you think are some strategies that people need to do? Over half of Americans don't believe the Jewish story. So what are some strategies you hold to getting this 9/11 really brought back into the fore and the perpetrators brought to justice?
Simple. You make light of the facts that are already publicly available, and then you use your power in the Congress and the Senate to open up investigations and the declassification of information that proves that Israel played a key role in organizing and publicizing 9/11 in the way they wanted. They had the Patriot Act on the table, ready to strip us of our Bill of Rights before those planes even took off. This is easy stuff. What I'm doing right now, me and Paul Nehlen and a few other candidates alone are already overwhelming their systems. If we charge the trenches in 2020 with hundreds of candidates, we win. They cannot survive that. They are depending on individuals with fan bases to stand up in limited numbers against this terrorist enemy. And that's not the way forward. You want to be my fan? You go out and you run for office in 2020. I don't want a fan club. I don't want to be seen as some sort of visionary guy. I'm just an ordinary American, Marine Corps veteran, enlisted, that honorably discharged, rank of sergeant. I wasn't even an officer. I'm just your average American that woke up to the truth and said, no more. I've had it up to here. This is nearly identical to 1775. We've got taxation without representation. We're ruled over by a foreign tyrannical government. It's doing horrible things to U.S. citizens and military personnel, and it's time to stop it. So don't be a closet supporter. If you have a clean record, if you were honorably discharged from the military, if you're a police officer, if you're a firefighter, if you serve your communities already in some capacity, you need to step up. If there's no one that talks about Zionist control of our government running in your district for Congress or for that Senate seat that's open, if it's open in 2020, you have to stand up and run. You have to put yourself up to that crucible and withstand the threats and such as I'm withstanding now, because ultimately, if they can't keep you out of the public eye, they respond to terrorism and threats. That's their nature. You have to stop being a closet supporter of politicians like me and stand up and run. I'm doing this with almost no money. If you do want to donate, it's littlerevolution.us/donate. But ultimately, it's you, the awakened American, who must stand up and run. If you're running and someone you think who is your better, who talks about these issues, is running, then support them. But if you can't convince that person you consider to be your better to run, then you have to run yourself. I myself considered myself a stand-in candidate until a lot of the most vocal people who were anonymous in this state refused to run. And I said, you know what? If you won't do it, I will. And I considered myself a placeholder for people I thought might be my better right up until the nomination process. And here I am.
Fill us in on the technicalities of this run for all the listeners out there in California. How do they find you? Where are you going to be on the ballot? And, you know, these types of issues to actually come out and vote for you. How is it working? Are you GOP independent? How is it going to work? And how do they basically find you on the ballot?
Look for me, Patrick Little. My ballot designation is civil rights activist, because right now we don't have civil rights for anyone except for these Jewish supremacists. So instead of civil rights for all, we have privilege for Jewish supremacists. And so you can find me in the polls on June 5th. Go to your poll. If you were registered to vote in 2016 and you haven't moved, you can go in on June 5th and find Patrick Little for U.S. Senate. Be sure to vote for me. And there might be I've been talking to Jim Corbett, who's talking about the Israelis controlling the three major companies that do the electronic voting machines here. So ask for a paper ballot. And take a picture of it if that's legal. Verify that it's legal, and take a picture of your postal ballot, if you did a postal ballot, or of your paper ballot. Do not use electronic voter machines. Now check to see your local district election laws if you're allowed to request a paper ballot. If you can get, look up the laws and find out whether or not your district allows you to demand a paper ballot. If they do, demand that paper ballot. It's a lot harder than just wiping the machines. And you have to remember, these electronic voting machines, look at what happened to a woman named Presley who won the congressional race around Houston. She was robbed, and they violated U.S. federal election law by destroying the ballot images, or they could make printouts of the electronic images to make paper ballots to be counted up later. These images must be held by federal law for 22 months after an election. Within 6 hours of her saying that she wanted to view these ballot images and challenge the results, they were at the Texas Supreme Court, fast-tracked, and the judge approved against federal law the destruction of these ballot images. So demand that paper ballot. I can prove to you, if you listen to me and Jim Corbett, who's also a congressional candidate, that the voting machine companies, which change their names once every 2 or 3 years, including Dominion, they are controlled by Israeli investors, and the different congressional districts and states do not have the ability to sign a contract where they're not allowed to look at the software in these machines, which is written in Israel. So this is not a conspiracy theory. This can be confirmed. This Jim Corbett gentleman exposed voter fraud against Patrick Buchanan a little over a decade ago, and two other times he has exposed and won exposing voter fraud. They tried to steal a primary from some people. He exposed it. So they're going to try and make it look like I didn't get any votes. You have to request a paper ballot, and you have to vote on June 5th in California. If your employer says, no, you can't go vote, so long as you give them prior warning that you are going to exercise your constitutional right to go vote on June 5th, they can be fined massively by the state and federal governments if they don't let you go vote. So they have to let you go vote. Let your employer know that you are going to vote on June 5th in California, and there's nothing they can do to stop you. This is an anonymous ballot. They have no way of proving that you voted for me. If you can, if it's legal, take a picture of your completed ballot, and if you really want to drive the point home, don't vote for anyone except for me and vote against every ballot measure.
Just to make it clean, huh?
Just to make it clean. That's what I did. Only thing I voted for was Trump in 2016. And against a lot of ballot measures that would have expanded the Trotskyite power they've got here over this state in California.
Yeah, how is California? I haven't been there in 12 years, man. Still as loon as ever.
Oh, yeah. They keep on passing all these new restrictions on the Second Amendment, which are unconstitutional. And I'll do what I can in the Senate to put the Supreme Court and these state Supreme Courts in check. Because right now, the reason the Zionists have gotten away with what they want to get away with, whether it be the dual citizenship, being a representative of our government and having dual citizenship, or whether it has to do with taking away our First, Second, Fourth, and Tenth Amendments, they're doing it through the courts. Right now, the courts have almost all the power. And the way to stop this is by standing up in the legislature and saying, this is not the original intent of the Constitution. Being a Supreme Court justice or a state justice in the state Supreme Courts does not give you the right to violate the United States Constitution. So one of my talking points is Proposition 8, which said that California defines marriage as between a man and a woman, as is traditional and as is according to all the different faiths here. Yeah, they overturned that with the court, well, even though close to 80% of the state voted for that traditional marriage ballot. They used the courts to push their Trotskyite, Bolshevik, counter-traditional, anti-man legislation on us.
It was to secure the well-being of children. That was the whole purpose to it. And obviously, absolutely, two idiots having two males getting together, there ain't going to be any children involved. So there's no such thing as marriage. The whole thing's a linguistic fraud that they keep perpetrating every step of the way.
The goal is to destroy all traditional structures in society to make atomize people and make them easier to control.
That is so true. Another interesting point that I've heard you raise a lot, and it's something that we would support equally, and that is called diversity. But we mean it quite literally, and if you are 2% of the population, you better not have more than 2% representation in any given business. And you kind of support that. Limit Jews to no more than 2% in any given field, and that might even be too much, wouldn't it?
I agree, absolutely. I can understand people seeking to have Jews removed from power for a cool-off period and from all offices in this country. I would understand that. However, what I'm pushing for, and as part of my campaign platform, is to immediately dismiss all Supreme Court justices that are Jewish and all judges and legislators that are Jewish until arbitrarily selected Jews are represented by no more than 2% of the population. Their percentage of the population is 1.8. I say cap it at 2% for all offices in the government.
Shouldn't we also just extend that to across the board? We should make diversity the law of the land. Jews can have only 2% pretty much everywhere, unless we find that there's a national security imperative at that point in time to keep it until we can replace them.
I'm looking into stuff like that right now. I'm looking to do it with the government first, and at that point, my Joint Committee on Un-American Activity will address those other issues like Senator McCarthy tried to with dog whistles, except I'm not just going to call them communists. I'm going to call them Jews, as as Senator McCarthy and President Nixon did privately.
Exactly. And Mr. Ford behind the Ford Motor Company equally. Another issue is, and if obviously we've got 90 million Americans out of work, essentially. Trump can talk a big game, but there's, as you know, in California, 10 cities everywhere now. Part of the problem I feel is that the income disparity has gotten out of hand. In other words, the CEOs and the chairman of the boards making 450, 2,000 times what the lowest person on the factory floor in the janitor's room is making. Should we have something like a luxury tax where we're saying, look, you can pay your guys up to 180 times the lowest paid person, but after that, you guys are going to be hit by a luxury tax, and that money is going to go back into the federal government for redistribution. Would you support something like this idea?
I'm curious about that. Right now, I deal with the primary issue, at which point we can deal with all of these issues. What I can tell you is this income disparity in this country is out of control, and it's intentional. And you have to remember, it's not just income. It's I prefer to look at income left over after expenses. So your purchasing power. The purchasing power of the American household has gone down consistently for everyone except for the top 1% over the last 100 years, and that's by design. Jews control the regulatory agencies that eliminate new small businesses from entering into things like broadcasting, pharmaceuticals, you name it. There are Jewish barriers to entry where Jews are running those regulatory agencies to prevent competition. And so then they're allowed to set up these giant conglomerate corporate structures that are international in nature, not loyal to America. And at that point, you have the equity holders making all the money. And we know over the past 100 years, there have been special tax holidays for Jews to cash out their windfall profits and capital gains at next to zero marginal tax rate. And this is designed to enrich the 1%, which is majority Jewish. I believe most of the billionaires are ethnically Jewish. And you better believe if you're not Jewish, I believe Bezos is not Jewish, you have to play ball and do things like pour money into the failing New York Times and Washington Post if you want to be able to sit at the table in terms of having a monopoly like online shopping.
Okay, so, a couple quick issues because we're running out of time here. I know you got to move on. NGOs, call them nonprofits in America, but the reality is that the NGOs, the George Soroses, are completely out of whack. We spend, Jews raise probably $20 to $29 billion a year from the American people, send that over to Israel, all done under the guise of nonprofits, which is essentially meaning that U.S. taxpayer is footing the bill. Are these issues that you are looking to address, or that's something that you haven't quite addressed yet?
Absolutely. Among my things that would address powerful lobbies and organizations like this would be my campaign promise to outlaw lobbies for foreign governments and also lobbies for corporations. There's no reason why corporations should be able to lobby and buy congressmen and senators. And that will help improve some of the legislation that would lead to a more equitable tax solution where working class people and farm owners wouldn't be taxed to death, where people who would make windfall profits from speculation where they profit from insider information would no longer be able to make this money and pour this money that they make in these windfall, pretty much untaxed profits into these NGOs. You have to remember, the primary organizations behind the opening of America's borders and the circumvention of our immigration law are funded by Jewish supremacist Zionist donors. You have to remember the caravan that arrived in San Diego, that was a bunch of Jewish lawyers at the border handing them forms, pointing out loopholes, how to get them into this country. Israel, an NGO that is allowed to do tax exempt stuff internationally, was behind a lot of the human smuggling of these invaders into Europe. Were people that were of military age with the aid of Israeli-backed NGOs were allowed to be smuggled into the European Union, where they claimed that they were 14 years old and were attending schools in northern and western Europe, claiming they were 14 years old while they were raping the schoolgirls on their way home.
In their 30s.
These are Israeli Zionist Jewish supremacist malicious intent organizations and NGOs such as Israel. I can post you a video showing Israel on the beaches helping to signal and welcome the invaders that received $3,000 apiece in Israel to move to Europe. So the asylum seekers, if you want to call them that, go to Israel. They're rejected, and they know they'll get a one-time payout of $3,000, which is about exactly how much it costs to go from the north coast of Africa to Europe. So the Israelis are funding this illegal invasion of the European Union and ensuring that the governments they control in the European Union put up no fight. They control elections, not just in the United States, but in Austria, where Hofer, who was going to stop this massive wave of immigration, won his presidential race in May of 2016. However, they flooded the postal ballots with fake ballots so that in Niederösterreich, or Lower Austria, 147% was the amount of voter participation, which there's no such thing as above 100% voter participation. These are Israeli NGOs. These are funded by the speculators that have insider information about what central banks are going to do to make windfall profits off from military contractors and off from also currency speculation. George Soros uses this Jewish Rothschild to control the central banks and insider information to make his billions upon billions, and he funnels these into anti-Western organizations and NGOs that ensure that the borders remain open. And he makes sure that our government supports Israeli wars of aggression that ensure a regular flow of refugees in the United States and America.
You know, Patrick, that is a quick hour, my friend. Thank you so much. Good luck again. Everybody get out there June the 5th in California. Like what Patrick say, certainly. Patrick, last words.
Thank you for having me on, sir. June 5th, remember to request that paper ballot. Vote for Patrick Little.
Thanks a lot, Patrick. Good luck today. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live primetime for Thursday. What is this, May 31st, 2018? Well, you know, it's funny. When we started the show today, literally it looked like my laptop had been hacked. It was bouncing around. The script was moving, enlarging. It really looked like the darn thing had been hacked. And sometimes you got to wonder, quite frankly, what is going on out there. But a little bit of technical issues today. You know, we're going to have some technical issues here, obviously, on Inside the Ally prime time. But I've worked with the studio today. We're trying to work some of those issues through. They actually set me up very well today. But as I was dropping the call with Patrick Little there, and again, you should, if you're in California, Patrick Little is running again for the Senate race against Dianne Feinstein, and quite frankly, anybody would be better than Dianne Feinstein, as far as I can tell. But anyways, guys, thanks for Patrick for coming on, and thanks everybody in the chat room. Again, I'm not sure. No, I don't want to do that. Let me see how I can work this. There we go. Okay, join us in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door. And then if you'd like to call into the show, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. We do hope, again, everything is going to be going fine here. I accidentally dropped the network, and that usually screws up the technical programming that goes into making these shows work. But I think we're going to do it the way we worked with the practice today with Nighthawk, and maybe we can just get through this hour, even though we've got a few troubles. Again, in the chat room, Tubby, Wolfgang, Nick Dunning, Snippets, Han Sean, all you guys, George 1951, thanks again for everything. Good afternoon, you know, to you. It's a wonderful day again here in Amman. You know, we're sitting right now at about 60, 61 degrees, I feel. A nice breeze coming through the house. So that is a wonderful thing to feel. You know, this past week we had a lot of time spent with Alison Chablot. And we started with last Saturday. Graham Hart came on. We ended up having an absolutely packed show for telephone calls. I mean, we actually were pretty much booked for something like an hour and 20 minutes worth of phone calls on Saturday. It's quite an amazing little thing. We had a great little show there about Alison Chablot. Then I came on to the Graham Hart show again with Alison Chablot as a guest, actually. And we talked about her verdict. And then, of course, we had the Tommy Robinson issue. And we know we have a lot of listeners coming out of the UK right now. And if you're not familiar with what's happening in the United Kingdom, it's not such a problem yet in the United States, but it's certainly a problem up in Canada and a lot of other places. And that's this issue of Jewish people shutting us down. That's the term you can use, but that's what they're doing. Shutting down debate because, quote unquote, they're offended. And it's, as far as I can tell, guys, it's not the issue of free speech per se and this and that. The issue right now is this propensity of Jews to feel that they have a right to get in our faces and simply shut people down because, quote unquote, they're offended. And if we allow our culture to digress to the, thumb-sucking pacifier mentality that is a Jewish culture where everything is, quote unquote, whinable, to where they want to go and cry and take you to court. We need at some stage, obviously, to fight back against this type of cultural degradation, this wimpish, crybaby, jackass mentality of Jews who keep doing this on not just the American stage, but the global stage. They had an interesting case out in Italy this past week. And what happened was the Italians had voted for essentially a Eurosceptic government. And the president of Italy, which normally takes a ceremonial role, blocked the government in Italy, installed an IMF, former IMF finance minister. And basically everybody said, no, we don't want this finance minister. We want snap elections. Now the EU is a little bit up in arms over everything because the EU is saying, hey, you know, you're risking losing Italy entirely. Because you know what? If I'm the Italians and I'm the British, see, what we've learned over the years is that the EU never, ever honors any, absolutely any vote that goes against them. They simply ignore it. Or they say, you got to go back and try it again and get it right the next time. And even though, like in Ireland, which did not vote to join the EU for like two times, they finally, quote unquote, got it right on the third time. These types of things inside the EU show to us that the European Union is nothing but a dictatorial thug group. It's a dictatorial club of unelected idiots who think that they can project themselves onto the whole body politic of Europe. Now, when you move over to our Western-dominated countries that especially speak English, we end up finding that we are ruled over by the same mentality, the same tyrannical mindset that Patrick Little called Zionist Jewish supremacists, but we just want to say Jews. Basically, they're Jews. It's not some Jews. It's basically the vast majority of Jewish culture is organized into some form of political bloc or another, whether it's United Jewish Congress, the American Committee for whatever, whatever, the Jewish American, blah, 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 you name it, you're going to find that virtually every Jew, literally every Jewish person out there, falls under some organized Jewish political bloc. And then when you study how the Jewish political blocs are organized and voting and collaborating together, what you soon find, literally what you soon find, is that essentially they're working in unison as a group. It's really a misnomer if you want to argue this on the political realm that, oh, it's some Jews, it's not some Jews. Well, again, you can't simply accept this mentality straight up without starting to research it. If the Jewish person says and makes this claim, it's up to them to prove it to you. You say, well, if it's not, okay, then you start to say, okay, where are, and then you just say, you give me a sampling of 5,000 Jews, and we want it across America, and you tell me what organizations these people fall under, whether it's a synagogue, because the synagogues will be actually linked further into some aggregation of synagogues in America. And I don't have any names in front of me, but you guys get the picture here. And you can do your own little research. So literally, once you start to research how Jewish culture is structured, there are really no innocent Jews out here because they are part and parcel to some organization somewhere within the body politic. If you notice every time you go on the press or you go outside and there's some type of issue, it's always some Jewish organization from Pittsburgh, another Jewish organization from Florida. It's always some. There's never just a Jew standing alone. It's always a Jewish organization, a Jewish organization. In other words, Jewish organization, that's basically what their culture is. So it's nice that we have the internet. It's nice that we have the ability to project our ideas independently and yet know full well that we have the ability to influence many a people out there. The question then comes on the body politic, how much organization do we need? Well, we absolutely do need organization. Why do we need organization? Because politics is personnel, as I've written before on Inside the Eye Live. You need to have your people in power. The reason why Hillary Clinton is not in jail today is because her people were in power. The reason why a lot of what has happened in America over the past 30 years is so because people have their people in power. It's very simple. Why is George Bush not a war criminal? Because they've got their people in power. Why is George Bush Sr. not hanged for treason? Because he's got his people in power. Why have we been unable to stop the illegal funding of the state of Israel? It's because Jews understand the game and they have their people in power. They have said, and I've heard this many a time, it's like something like, we don't care whether you know that we run the Congress or not. What we care about is that we keep getting to do it. That's what we care about. I've heard something to the effect that from the ADL or something like that is like, well, we got to go out and win these campuses, meaning we got to put our people in power on campuses, especially when it comes to things like BDS, boycott, divest, and sanction. I've heard the ADL say things, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but we need to win the campus, meaning they've said straight up, we win when it comes to the national debates, and we need to put our people in power on the campuses also. So there has to be at some layer some type of organized structure that has enabled such to put people into positions of power. Hence, you start to gain control of the body politic out there. It is not possible, quite frankly, to just talk a lot without having the organizational clout to start to make things happen for you. The idea, of course, started at the local level. Because the federal level is a cesspool. It's not so easy, but certainly you can win back cities. You can win back towns. And then once you win back a town, you can win back a county. Of course, it would be great if you could see a sea change at the federal level. But even at the federal level, if people are too stupid to figure out how the actual game is played in Washington, and it's actually not so difficult, folks, it's called money. Simply take away the money. The FBI dies tomorrow if you simply defund it. The CIA will have to explain why it's still able to operate if it loses funding from the Congress. That goes true across the board. Every single one of these corrupt institutions inside of America, inside of the UK, inside of everywhere that you can think of is so because they have money from the federal governments. Take away that money from the federal governments and see what you get. I don't know if you guys heard Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is this little Jewish screwhead, sells himself as a conservative, and he is a disgusting, filthy piece of crap. Seriously, guys. He was tweeting out the other day something to the effect that, you know, relative to the Gaza shootings, the massacre, and it was a massacre. Jews have massacred along the Gaza Strip something like 200-300 people by now over the past 2 months, something like that. It may be just shy of that, but they have injured thousands upon thousands, okay? And the reason why is because the people in Gaza have no water. They have food, but they have really no water. They have little to no electricity. They have little to no medical care. It takes months just to get an appointment outside of the Gaza Strip if you need medical attention. So the people inside of Gaza are approaching the fence to their concentration camp, which is what Gaza is. It's a massive 2 million person concentration camp. 2 million people in Gaza, folks. Now, Jews want you to believe that Germans killed systematically 6 million people. Jews, they're very efficient murderers, but they haven't been able to show us they can manage Gaza yet. And it's not so simple, everybody, unless you can control the food and send people off to where you can basically starve them to death or just shoot them in the head with a bullet. It's really, really difficult to kill that many people because of the labor involved and the torment to the people doing the killing involved. Normally, these screwheads, these really evil people within the Jewish community and some within Western civilization also, they like to use starvation. Literally, they like to use starvation. It's a very painful way to kill people, but that's what they like to do because it's free. Just deny them everything. Let them die. That's kind of how it works. But you've got Ben Shapiro, and he's going out tweeting like, what do you want the Jews to do along the border to Gaza? They either A, let them pass, which means that the people inside Israel will be at harm, or B, they're going to have to shoot them to stop them from coming over the border. Now, at the same time, Ben Shapiro is calling anybody trying to say that to anybody along the southern border with Mexico as you're a racist, you're a Nazi if you do the same thing. See, it's these hypocritical, disgusting filth that continue to be able to influence our people that need to be absolutely railroaded out. Literally, how dare this piece of garbage get up there and tell us that it's okay for Jews to shoot dozens upon dozens upon dozens of Palestinians who just want a better life in Israel. Yet we're supposed to tolerate literally the millions upon millions of people who come into America because they, quote unquote, want a better life equally. And as everybody knows, if you have a mass migration of XYZ numbers, a certain percentage of those people are going to be criminal. They are going to go after the population. Whether we like it or not, it's going to happen. It's going to happen if it's in Palestine, and it's certainly going to happen if it is from Mexico or Guatemala or Honduras. And people like Ben Shapiro and all of these other Jewish groups out there who continue to advocate for open borders for America, but they want to close borders for Israel. This is the type of hypocrisy that needs to be stamped out ruthlessly. And I'm talking about ruthlessly. These people should be absolutely destroyed. They are working as a treasonous fifth column element upon the United States people. And it's just not the United States, folks. It's the United Kingdom. It's Germany. It's France. It's Belgium. It is Italy. It is Greece. It is everywhere aside from perhaps Poland and Hungary. Now, here's the issue. Whether we like it or not, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, there is a campaign by the Jewish community at large to destroy pretty much all of what is Western civilization. They make no bones about it. Their professors brag about it. They act, quite frankly, as if America is theirs and they can do what they want to the American people. Now, the American people, by and large, are white Christian Europeans. That's by and large. Obvious fact, by the way. It's clear. There is no reason then why white Christian Americans should stand idle while Jewish people run roughshod over their rights, try to impose their tyranny upon them. There's absolutely no reason for it. It's your country. It's not a Jew's country. When you look at Patrick Little here, folks, and I've gone through various, web searches for Patrick Little. And you got this, like here, neo-Nazi. This comes out of USA Today. Neo-Nazi running as a Republican in California Senate race. Well, first of all, how is it that Jews believe they can just go ahead and use that term without offending us. Under their laws, an offense is a hate crime, and therefore the Jews should be absolutely drilled. I don't care how you do it, quite frankly, folks. Because when they use the term neo-Nazi, they use it to harm you. They're not doing it because they're being nice to you. They are doing it as a malicious slander because within some areas, within the Jewish community, it means that you are supposed to get destroyed. Now, as Patrick Little was saying, he had more support than any other Republican candidate in the April 27 survey of the USA poll that went out. Little was polling at 18% compared with Feinstein's 39%. The next highest performing GOP candidate came in at 8%. Republican leaders in California are working hard to distance themselves from the self-described counter-Semitic candidate. Now, as we all know, folks, all of this terminology is coming from the extended efforts of people like TRS. I'll throw in Daily Stormer. I will throw in Inside the Eye Live and others. All of this type of language is being and has been promoted by people like us and the TRS folks and others. This is a fact. Now we're seeing a candidate actually take these ideas and bring it into the body politic now. Think about it. Whether or not we believe Mr. Little can succeed or not is irrelevant at this stage. We can wish people like that well just to see what they can do. It can't be any worse than Senator Dianne Feinstein, folks. This woman is a hag. She's a Jewish thug. She has made so much money off of the taxpayer, she should probably be jailed for corruption. She is not what you call a clean person. She's basically, frankly, an idiot. Because if you haven't figured out 9/11 and you're sitting on one of the intelligence committees inside the Senate, and you don't figure out 9/11 yet, you're a freaking moron. We don't need you in the Senate. We don't need you sitting in Washington. And quite frankly, if you're heading up our intelligence committees and our judiciary committees, which keep sponsoring all these idiotic judges out there, then we should find people like Feinstein to be somewhat in contempt and actually just rolled and, if necessary, in prison. I don't care. Because you know what? They don't care. I don't care if you pull a Patriot Act on them. Just arrest them. I don't care. Really, I don't care because they'll do the same to you. These people are not nice people. Now imagine, here's Patrick Little, and he's been very vocal about his counter-Semitic, anti-Semitic. But the point here is this. It says here, let me give you, Mr. Little has never been an active member of our party. I do not know Mr. Little, and I am not familiar with his position, said Matt Fleming, the communications director for the California Republican Party, in a statement. But in the strongest terms possible, we condemn anti-Semitism and any other form of religious bigotry, just as we do with racism, sexism, garbage, 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 garbage. See, my point to Mr. Matt Fleming and the GOP here is that why is it that you people inside the GOP think it is absolutely critical that we have a litmus test that puts Jews first? It's the Fed here, but inside the prime time for May 31st. Back to the program. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fed inside the Ally prime time again for May 31st, 2018. I want to thank Patrick Little, a Senate candidate for California. Again, amazing to think this guy was actually polling 18th and everybody wants to run away. It's like, here's your best candidate and you freaking morons in the GOP want to be running away. And for those of us who have been doing this a really long time, look, the real issue in America, and Patrick is right, as far as what he's saying here. The problem in America is Jewish supremacism. It really is. This idea that they're superior to everybody else, that America is going to fail if ever we were to not have them in positions of power. Look, under Jewish power, Jewish domination, Jewish control, America has become 20-some-odd trillion dollars in debt. Now, where did that money go? Because remember, debt is nothing but the transfer of wealth from one side to another. So where is the money? Where'd it go? And then you look at everywhere, you got these billions upon, literally hundreds upon hundreds of Jewish billionaires. And then you look at all of these Jews making $100,000 plus working for NGOs. And the NGO's sole purpose is to undermine the economic power of America. And once you undermine the economic power of America, what you're really doing is destroying opportunity for its population. What you're learning is that $20 trillion went for treason. Saw some comment the other day, you know, stop calling Jews who don't share your views treasonous. Why should we stop calling you treasonous? Because what half of what you're doing, if not more, is treasonous. It's quite frankly unbelievable. You are listening to Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Again, this is listener sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. I just want to say this to you guys who are listening out there. You know, we've had some issues with technical stuff here on Inside the Eye Live Primetime, and we had before. These are caused by Skype. I can assure you that. The network, for its part and its team behind the scenes, has done everything possible to make sure that we can try to put on a quality show here for you. So please keep the network in mind. Send some donations over their way. Again, we do appreciate it. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live Primetime.
Hey, Mitch, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Frank. How are you?
Oh, I'm just getting out of the rain. I'm soaked.
Were you listening to the show while getting soaked?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been listening. Cool. I think I missed a couple minutes. Anyway, I've heard Little before. He's new to the scene as far as I'm concerned. I never heard of him, you know, until just
well, that's I'll be honest. He is new to the scene. He's got a lot of the talking points, the buzzwords. We don't know much about him. But anyways, he is there. And how sincere he is, obviously only time will tell. I'm just being pragmatic. You know, you and I are senior guys. We've got to take things with a grain of salt. But at the same time, okay, if he's saying what he's saying, let him keep saying it, right?
Well, he's saying all the right things. Not that I agree with him on every little nuance of what he's saying, and I could tell you were probably in the same boat as I was.
Yeah, probably.
And some of that is just, you know, it's a matter of aging. You know, if you're new to it, for somebody, if he's as new as I'm thinking he is to all this, he's caught on real quick. And he's definitely got all the talking points down and all of that. But, you know, there's a few little nuances. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'll cut him some slack because he's just new. Plus, I mean, you got to cut somebody slack who's running for a public office as well. Because, I mean, they can't. Even if he believed everything I believe, even if I was in his position, I can't sincerely, genuinely say that I would say everything that's on my mind. But I'm not. So sometimes I do say everything that's on my mind. And I would dare say it probably doesn't do me a whole lot of good. You know, I get real frustrated, though. I'm not speaking of Little here, and I don't want to blackpill anything he's doing, but I see all these people out there with radio shows and whatnot, and they're all, not all of them, but most of them are all tripping over themselves to let the Jews off the hook. And it's sickening to me. The Jewish people are, I'm not speaking, I know you, I'm only speaking for myself here, but as a group, they are evil people. When I hear people saying, oh, it's not the Jews, it's just this one tiny, real minuscule.
Which is what Patrick was saying, too, and I thought, come on, Patrick, you know. It's a lot more complicated than that. Give me a break.
He doesn't understand. He's not familiar with people like you. You know, I mean, you're obviously one of the best out there. Not probably one of the most well-known, but you're probably one of the top, if not right there. I mean, you're like the top guy as far as getting it. You get it, and you're intellectually and articulate enough, able and mentally and emotionally, you know, intelligent. You're able to actually articulate it, and you're confident in it. You know, you don't mess around, and you're not. You just say the truth because they've already shown you who they are and that they have no mercy. And one other quick thing. I disagree, you know, and that's fine. He can say whatever he wants, but I don't buy into the premise that we're under the Constitution. I don't think we've ever been under the Constitution in my lifetime. They don't want to make it a fight because they don't want people to know. They want to let this argument of constitutional and unconstitutional go on because they don't want to just come out and make a proclamation or whatever. Hey, by the way, guys, you know, I'm the president or we're the Congress. You're not under the Constitution. I mean, George W. Bush made a statement. It's just a GD piece of paper. But, you know, in the end, of course, you only have the rights that you're willing to fight, kill, and die for. So, you know, in a way, I guess they're kind of right. It is just a piece of paper. And, of course, you know, there's an argument to be made, you know, in the quotes and not the mistake, but the whatever you call it, of the patriot movement and all. You know, the Constitution was made for a moral people. I also, I don't want to nitpick him, but I don't believe that the founding fathers, I kind of doubt that the founding fathers meant for all the people of all races to come here and just mix and just become big.
No, of course not.
No, I don't buy
clear.
That.
They were very clear it would be white people of good moral standing. And they made statements to that effect.
So he discredits himself by saying stuff like that, and I don't. I mean, it sounds good politically. I understand, and I don't. I'm not looking to hate on Asians or Black people or anything. I want everybody to be happy. You know, we it's too bad we couldn't come up with some way. You know, and personally, I it seems to me it's certainly with the Jews being around, constantly instigating, feuds and you know disharmony. The Blacks and the whites are never going to get along on a larger scale. We'd be dealing with this 100 years from now. So the obvious thing to me is we need to split up. We need to come together with Black leaders who are genuine and actually are looking out for the best interests of their people and white leaders who are looking out for the best interests of their people and separate. You know, I mean, there comes a time like in a marriage, you know, there are, irreconcilable differences. You're never going to get along. You're never going to make up.
Yeah, and I think that was the whole reason to starting the State of Israel equally. It was a recognition that there are these irreconcilable differences and that, okay, look, just get the hell out. Here's your home. And Jews reneged on that deal equally. So that idea you're proposing should extend to Jewish people equally.
Hey, I don't know if you, I've never watched an episode, old or new, of Roseanne Barr, she's the Jewish woman, you know. I've actually never watched a show. I've seen it in passing over the past 30 years or however long it was on, just, you know, switching through the channels. I never stayed on it for more than 5 or 10 seconds, but I don't know if you're following this, but she's gotten into a lot of trouble talking about what is the woman's name? Valerie Jarrett. You got it. Valerie Jarrett. She said this is what something to the effect of this is what you get when you mix the Muslim Brotherhood with Planet of the Apes. Okay. Her show, I don't know if you know, but it was like the biggest show on network television, and it's been canceled.
Yeah. It's just dumb. Go ahead.
Yeah, the thing I wanted to say real quick, and I'll get out of your way, is she's revealed this, and I don't follow her. I don't know. Apparently, she's made a lot of goofs in the past that have gotten her career in trouble. But it does serve, by the way, as showing, look, if you say anything that's politically incorrect, even if you're some nasty female comedian, your career's over, right? It kind of sets the precedent. Hey, you don't say anything, you know, you white, or, you know, most people see her as a white woman. So it kind of instills fear. It kind of terrorized the populace, even though it was maybe a dumb thing to say. But actually, you know, the thing is, it's the double standard, too. These comedians on the left, the commies, they can say whatever they want, and they're cheered. The Sarah Silverman's and all these people, they can call for the killing of people and whatnot. That one woman did get in a little bit of trouble. What was her name? Kathy Griffin. But the last thing I want to say, I'll get out of your way, is she revealed that one of her dreams is to move to Israel and live on a farm and take her family and live out the rest of her life or whatever in Israel, on, of course, land stolen from Palestinians. But you won't hear a peep about that anywhere in the media. There won't be anything about her wanting to go and steal some Palestinians' land, right? So it's a total double standard. They're actually focusing in on the wrong thing. But it's just, it's total hypocrisy, as we know. It's sickening. And
Roseanne Barr is a renowned Zionist. She's such a huge supporter of Jews in Israel that you have to wonder why they would even bother taking her off the air.
And
for
perfectly comfortable, obviously, with Trump. Because he's a big Zionist, too, as far as I'm concerned.
Of course he is. Yeah, he's lock, stock, and barrel.
All right, Fetch. I'll get out of your way. Great show.
Great, so much. Thanks again, everybody. 323-275, America, that is, plus 1-323-275. Do it. Okay, 1-323-275, 1314. That's 1-323-275, 1314. The ITIL Cat Report is proudly sponsored by Friends of Grism, everybody. That's right, Friends of Grism. If you've got an IT application, or not application, but if you've got an IT website, if you got a website, let's put it this way. If you've got a website out there and you need some IT assistance and you are inside this movement and you would like to have your website properly indexed and all the special coding to get it into the Google search engines and optimized and all these other cool things that you might need to do, well, we might be able to help you here at InsideTheEyeLive.com, because quite frankly, we want to help anybody that's helping to get the word out, and a properly functioning website really does help. I'll tell you what, my traffic, everybody, on the backside that we've noticed has gone up about 30% now since our guy with the web voodoo back in the background has started to do his thing. So can't say 100% of that is due to him. Maybe some of it's due to me. But nonetheless, folks, if you don't have a properly functioning piece of digital property, it's just not going to work. So if you guys got anything that you'd like to do, send me an email to thefetchitinsidetheeyelive.com, thefetchitinsidetheeyelive.com. Cat reports today, kind of cool, kind of fun. We gave Bruiser a bath today, and Bruiser's hair was just so knotted up, it was terrible. So what we did is we took out the scissors, everybody, and Bruiser got a haircut today. I just spent some time. The other gal that lives here with me took some time, and she cut. So between the two of us, we got virtually all the knots, the major knots, out of Bruiser's hair. And my goodness, Bruiser has some of the softest fur that you're ever going to feel. I'm like, dude, you just got to stay away from the fur peddlers, because your fur, man, it's really nice. Somebody might take a liking to your fur. So you stay inside the house, would you? No, it's really so soft and silky and smooth. Ladies, you wish you had hair like Bruiser's. Trust me on that. It is the most soft, silky, smooth hair I have ever felt. One eye, for his part, he's sitting here right next to me on the couch inside my office here. He was gone for about 36 hours. We were getting very worried for him, quite honestly. But he came home about 5 o'clock today, 5:30 today. Funniest thing, man, I love this cat. He went to the kitchen, and we're busy. We have people here, clients and visitors, and he just starts meowing up a storm. It's like, dude, you were gone for 36 hours. We looked for you all over. We tried to feed you, and now look at you. You're just screaming at us. You're just yelling at us. Meow. And he's talking. You could just see in his eyes he's talking to you like, what are you doing? Get to the kitchen. It's time to feed me. But he got a nice big bowl of chicken liver, so did Bruiser. And it was so darn cute, because One Eye was tired after 36 hours of gallivanting around. He went into the kitchen. There's that favorite perch of his up there. And Bruiser came up, and he just kind of stepped over One Eye, and he took the other side. One Eye got a little bit of angry about that, but they finally calmed down with each other, and they were so cute sleeping together today. And that's kind of a cool thing. But as the night passed on and I moved to the office here to start preparing for the show, One Eye decided to come on, and just now he's sleeping in the couch. We gave him a nice blanket, not a blanket. We gave him a towel. If you put a towel down with cats, everybody, it's strange, but the cats will sleep on the towel. Don't ask me why. So if you got a couch or some type of furniture and you want your cat to enjoy, but you don't want to get it dirty, don't worry about it. The cats don't want to get it dirty either. They prefer you put a towel down. So just put a towel down. I guarantee they'll sleep on the towel. So just do it. Try it. You'll enjoy it. That is the Cat Report, everybody. Inside the Eye Live. Friends brought to you by Friends of Grism at grism.blogspot.com. So give that a definitely a check out Grism's and don't, if you, again, wherever you want to donate your money is great. And don't forget grism.blogspot.com because that popper really does a really good job over there.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Pierce.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
The Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
All right, everybody. Just a quick note. I'll probably be appearing on the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show for a release date something like 3 weeks from now. The deal's not entirely done. But we'll let you know when that happens. But nonetheless, as we close out the show here today, just got a few. I'm in a good mood. I don't know why. It's 3 a.m. here. Why not be in a good mood, right? We've got, a couple Oy Vey moments, I think, just to kind of keep this simple and close out the show here. Number one is coming out of both of these are going to come out of the United Kingdom. And one of these is something to do with thou shalt not criticize Israel. It's actually coming from David Icke's column. I don't look too much at David Icke, but he just showed up. And I didn't mean to look for him. He just kind of showed up in what I was looking, and he popped up. But there's a guy by the name of Jonathan Arkush. And Jonathan Arkush is the outgoing president of the Board of Deputies, and I think it's Jewish deputies. And he said, Corbyn has views which are anti-Semitic, and he has problematic views. Now, again, this idea that everybody needs to kowtow to Jews is absolutely absurd, and that Jews actually expect us to kowtow to them. That's even beyond absurd. It's like, are you an idiot? Who cares what you think, dude? Really, when people come to me with this anti-Semitic BS crap, I just say, first of all, what you're trying to say is I'm factually correct. Now, what's your problem? You have a problem with the facts? What's your problem? Really, just explain to me what's your problem. I don't need some moron who believes in fairy tales to tell me that somehow my views are quote unquote anti to him. Who cares? Really, who cares? Now, this Arkush also criticized, because, you know, he's a Jew. He's got to whine all day long, right? He criticized Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, who should have, he says, a stronger, clearer voice in support of the Jewish community. Well, why is it that the Archbishop of Canterbury needs to bother with Jews in their community? There's no point. Why bother? It's your freaking community, you morons. Deal with it. You're 2% of our population. It's just screwing everything up. And then you want us to kiss your little butt? I'm sorry, but no, we don't. There's no reason why the Church of Canterbury or any other church inside of the UK has to be more concerned about the Jewish community. When Jewish community starts to be really concerned about people calling me an anti-Semite, then I'm going to start to think, hey, you Jews are kind of cool. When you Jews stop using the term neo-Nazi, then I'm going to say, oh, well, maybe we might start to give you Jews a pass. But as long as you're going to go out there and continue to insult us, insult our intelligence, come off as little prattling little spoiled children who are a bunch of cupcake morons, then folks, I ain't got a freaking sympathy for you whatsoever. He says here, delegitimizing the state of Israel is anti-Semitic. How is delegitimizing a country that doesn't have borders, that doesn't have a conscience, how can be delegitimizing that be quote unquote anything? If you are buying into the legitimacy of a country that doesn't have a border and doesn't have a constitution, then you're just a complete whack job moron, okay? And I would just tell our coups that, dude, where's the border to Israel? It doesn't have one. Why don't they declare it? Because they don't believe that they should have it. So therefore, they don't even believe in their own country. It's already illegitimate. What type of quack job moron idiocy do you Jews want us to buy into? And I would explain it like that. I wouldn't be couching my words saying, I'm not going to be on the defensive with these nutcase morons. Why should you? He says here, if he shares the prevalent, this is Arkush again, if he shares the prevalent discourse about Israel, then that view is unquestionably anti-Semitic. Well, who cares? Again, you're just telling us it's freaking factually correct, you moron. What is it about Jews that says every time something's factually correct, they whine? Every time that anti-Semitic term comes up nowadays, it means something is factually correct. And how is it we are allowing Jews to pass laws that make something factually correct a crime? How is it we are allowing Jews to run roughshod over individuals of our society because they're saying something factually correct? Since when do we allow a bunch of intellectualized thugs destroy somebody's reputation for being factually correct? Because that's all anti-Semitic means nowadays. You are being factually correct. Factually correct. That's what anti-Semitic actually means in the way that they use the term. And then they're whining because they're saying Jeremy Corbyn's views could drive Jewish people from the UK. I need a freaking cry. I need a crybaby freaking soundtrack for that. It says here, British Jews are asking, do we have a future? Well, no, you shouldn't have a future. When we look at the amount of harm that you Jews have done to the United Kingdom, when we look at the amount of harm that you Jews have done to America, that you have done to Canada, that you have done to Germany, that you have done to France, that you have done to Belgium, that you have done to Italy, that you have done to Greece, tell us why we feel why you should have a future. Why should you have a future? It's called politics. It's not called hating you. But see, they want to say that's hate. It's not hate. It's saying enough is enough is enough. And the politics of the situation demands that Jews not have a future in this type of system. That's not hate, see, folks. They want you to have sympathy for them and say, oh, you hate us. No, it's all about my interests, trump your interests. And I don't care about Jewish interests. And I don't care if you don't have a future because you know what? You don't have a future in the Jewish world either. So why are you caring about whether or not Jews have a future in yours? Think about it. Why do you want to sit there and kiss somebody's butt who is doing everything possible to destroy your future? See, they understand the game. That's why they're asking the questions. Jeremy Corbyn, the Jews keep saying, and I'm not even a Jeremy Corbyn fan. I really don't care that much. It's the UK. But they keep saying he holds anti-Semitic views, which could drive Jewish people to leave Britain if he becomes prime minister. Well, if that's the case, I would love to see some of these evil monstrosities start leaving the United Kingdom. Hell, if that's the reason and it's really true, I'd just put Corbyn in power and let's see, call the bluff for a few years. I mean, after all, Jews are already destroying the country anyways. Just call the bluff. Again, Arkush was among senior, whoop-de-doo, right? Senior Jewish leaders who met Corbyn in April to discuss concerns about being factually correct. See how that reads, folks? Listen carefully. Delegitimizing the state of Israel is factually correct. Why don't you start changing anti-Semitic to factually correct? Delegitimizing the state of Israel is anti-Semitic. Well, why? It's stupid. That is simply one of the dumbest moronic statements you could even say. This is the type of language of a freaking moron. Because first of all, Israel has no border. It has no constitution. It's not a state in the classical tradition of what is a state. How can you legitimize it to begin with? You'd have to be a freaking moron to legitimize the state. So therefore, it should read, delegitimizing the state of Israel is factually correct, because it's factually correct. What more do you need to know? Furthermore, listen, if he, this would be Corbyn, shares the prevalent discourse about Israel, then that view is unquestionably factually correct. See, change anti-Semitic to factually correct, and you start to get the actual essence of what Jews are doing. They are taking things that are factually correct, charging it with a word that means absolutely jack, you know what, and then trying to make you shy away from whatever is factually correct. Stop shying away from what is factually correct and start dealing with reality. It's a bitch inside the LA prime time. Thank you. Just everybody. Good night. Saturday. And we have a big show. Show up Saturday. Trust me, it's a big show. I'll see you.